You know that feeling when your eyes are strained, the headaches start creeping in, and you keep putting off getting new glasses because the price is just brutal? Plenty of vets carry that same frustration, especially when life already feels like a pileup of appointments, bills, family needs, work demands, and other things like that. But there is a path to getting a new set of glasses. One that gets you solid eye care, real prescription that works with your eyes, and glasses that fit your face, all without taking a swing at your budget. This episode today walks through how VA eye care actually works, why so many veterans like myself never have heard about it, and how fast a turnaround time can be once you're in their system. Our guest today, Sean Lucen, leads a team at PDS Optical, the largest provider of prescription eyeglasses to VA patients, and he lays out what PDS, pride, dignity, and service look like when the mission that they are serving is taking care of veterans by the thousands every single day. So stick with this episode, take the benefit that you've already earned, and then pass it on to a buddy who still thinks that the VA can't help with something as basic as seeing clearly. But before we get into this episode, I want to take a moment to raise awareness for something that's deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians who are impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial will serve as both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you'd like to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit gwattmemorialfoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. I'm looking forward to it today.
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and your background, could you maybe just start things off by introducing yourself and share a bit about your journey through, you know, the military into your current role, what you're doing now?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. Sean Lucen, I'm the CEO of PDS Optical, and PDS Optical is the largest provider of prescription eyeglasses to our nation's veterans. And we're in 40 states, providing over 1.6 million prescription eyeglasses to our nation's veterans each and every year. And the P, the D, and the S actually stand for pride, dignity, and service. Those are three of our core values as a company. And honored to be the CEO. It's a family company that my uncle, Rich Murray, started up 25 years ago. And then my father joined in, and it kind of grew slowly from one contract with the VA to many. We've got, you know, over 80% of the contracts out there right now. And we're proud to be, as a veteran myself, we're proud to be serving our veterans. And that's a little bit about PDS. And my just quick, maybe quick or not, I don't know, we'll see here. Background is, as I mentioned, I'm a veteran myself. I'm an Army person like yourself, infantry guy. And awesome. It is awesome. And I grew up in a military family. Actually, my father served in Vietnam. I actually, unfortunately, lost his leg in Vietnam, but it never really set him back. He was alert with the 101st in Vietnam. And then my grandfather served in Korea. So I kind of grew up, you know, in that military, you know, mentality as a kid, playing Army and all that stuff. And then I'm originally from New Jersey. And I remember going up to West Point one year for a football game, either like eighth grade or freshman year. And I remember looking around the place and I'm like, what is this? Like, it kind of opened my eyes. I don't know if, have you ever been to West Point before, Scott?
I've been once. Yeah. And so, it was while I was in the Army doing a training exercise there and in the middle of the winter. So just, you can probably imagine how fun that was.
Winter's a tough time. Everything's very gray there and white. Yeah. So yeah, it's cold, windy. So this was during the fall when it's beautiful. Okay. And so yeah. I remember looking around, I'm like, what is this place? You know, how do I get in here? And I remember talking to my freshman year guidance counselor. I'm like, hey, I want to go to West Point. And unfortunately, I was not off to a hot start academically. And he's like, no, think of somewhere else. And so I kind of used that as a challenge and turned things around academically and went into West Point and then graduated in 2002 and, you know, served as an infantry officer for 5 years, did, you know, all sorts of infantry stuff, you know, Ranger school, airborne school, air assault school. I did a tour in Iraq, Mosul, Iraq, and back in 05, 06, during the, when the Iraqis were voting on their constitution. So as platoon leader, executive officer, really had a great time in the military. And it was kind of at a decision point in my military career where I had actually went to special forces selection and got selected. So I did the hard part and I was at a crossroad, like, do I continue on? And I, you know, I did the whole pros, cons list. That's another 5 years, you know, the stability. And so I ultimately decided to get out and started working in insurance, actually, in New York City, financial services for a great company called Unum, and was there for 15 years. And then you know, this opportunity was presented to me as my father and Rich Murray, who I mentioned, were sort of looking to succession planning for PDS. And they got me involved as a consultant to kind of learn a little bit about the company. And the more I learned about it, I just was really impressed with the operations and everything and the people. And then ultimately continued down that path and stepped in as an owner and a CEO back in March of 2022, I think it's been. So it's, you know, time is flying here. So
that's, Yeah, it seems like it. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to have you on is because when I first heard about your company and what you guys do and the contracts that you have with the VA, I said, hold up, you can get glasses from the VA? And someone obviously who wears glasses.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And that was something that I, when I heard about that, I was like, well, you know, where has this been? Why am I only just now hearing about this? I've been, you know, out of the Army for almost 15 years now. I feel like, you know, why didn't I know this? And I got to imagine there are plenty of veterans out there who just don't know that the VA has an eyewear kind of program, optical, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So that was news to me. And so I wanted to, you know, hear a little bit, obviously, about you and your company, but, you know, kind of more importantly, you know, what's the whole process look like on the VA side to kind of get those veterans into the program and get them, you know, to get the prescriptions, get the glasses, get all the things from the VA side, you know, as opposed to, you know, going to, you know, their local lens crafters or, you know, something other than, you know, going through the VA. I got to imagine there are some, possibly even some hoops to jump through, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, you know, down the line, we can kind of get into that a little bit, but I want to, you know, first off ask about your kind of transition from, you know, Army into this corporate role. You know, obviously you went insurance first and then you got into what you're doing now. But what was in your mind, what was like the kind of the biggest change from the military side to the civilian side of things for you? What, you know, were there any kind of big surprises for you?
Definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, coming from the military, it's a different sort of culture, a different, you know, brotherhood. You know, those are terms, but they're actually, you know, like when you're in it, you know, esprit de corps, like you're fighting with your soldiers like day in and day out, and so like you share a certain bond. And so when you, it was different. Like I remember like stepping into the new role at where I was back in 2007. I'm like, you know, just looking around, it was different kind of people and, you know, good people, but it was just different. Right. So it was a change and that's normal, like for any type of change and getting used to that. And I remember looking back, I'm like, did I make the right decision here getting out of the military? But it's just, I think it's just normal, like, you know, changing from like, it's totally different. Like the military, the Army organization, you know, there's good and bad everywhere, but like, you know, I had a good units, thankfully. And so I just remember stepping out of into the corporate civilian world and it being a different shock. And so it took some time for me to get used to that. But thankfully, you know, like there were great people there that helped me. And eventually I, you know, settled into, you know, from sales roles into leadership roles there where I can kind of influence things and kind of influence and impart some of the leadership principles and stuff that I learned. And you know, you kind of get your feet under you. But I definitely... Sure. That's a great question. Like, I remember looking back on that, like, I'm like, wow, like, did I make the right decision in getting out? Like, I could be, you know, getting my butt kicked in probably, you know, the Q course and special forces, all that.
Right.
But like, anyway, so here I am today, and you know, I don't look back with any regrets though.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, I asked the question because a lot of times veterans will get out really not having a plan of what's next for me, and they do the shotgun approach of applying to every job that's imaginable, and they end up getting a job that they absolutely hate. And then they're looking back, kind of like what you were just talking about. They look back and say, man, did I actually make the right decision? I kind of wish I was back there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Back then there were the things that sucked. I really hated about being in the military, but there was also the stuff that I really loved. The camaraderie, maybe the mission that you had, maybe the sense of purpose and pride and everything that you had in your unit, or, you know, whatever. And so there's a lot of times there's those kind of regrets that people have going into that civilian role. So it's just, I always like to ask those types of questions just to see how that transition was for the guests that I'm talking to, because every now and again, it's just like, I had a great experience in this transition, or the opposite. I had it was absolutely terrible. I like to hear it all, because it gives some perspective to some folks of, you know, like, if you had a great experience, okay, well, what did this guy do to have that great experience? And maybe I can kind of match that up too. And so it's just interesting to hear that, you know?
Yeah. It's, I got lucky. So I started in New York City working there, and then I ended up moving up to Rochester, New York, where I am now. And, you know, the Rochester, New York was a smaller kind of feel to it there. And so maybe that move helped. And I got lucky too. Like I was, you know, the company I worked for was incredible, was there for 15 years. Great mission. You know, we're providing insurance and protection for benefits for, and so it was fun, you know, great people around you. So sometimes you just get lucky too. But I definitely do remember, like, early on in New York City and traveling in, you know, because I was still commuting into from Jersey there, and it was it was an adjustment. But
that certainly can be an adjustment. Being, I know, just some travel that I've done to New York City, and you know, coming from the areas that I grew up in and you know, where I live now, it's just a totally different world. It's so busy, so vibrant. Everything is constantly moving, and it's just a different way of life. So let's talk about PDS. You know, you said pride, dignity, and service is what the name of the company stands for.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know about the company itself and kind of like how you guys kind of incorporate those values into day-to-day life in the business, on, you know, whether it's on the shop floor, if that's the right term for what you guys do, and you know, dealing with the customers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, excellent question. So I'm a big, always, I'm a mission first, people always sort of mentality there as a leader. And so I'm always trying to drive across our mission to our employees and our team. So I'll just, like, I'm like a robot sometimes. I like just kind of get it in there, you know, providing high quality, affordable eyewear for our nation's veterans, just reminding our team of what we're doing. So, and so you just constantly try to remind our folks of like what we're doing each and every day. You know, we're making a lot of prescription eyeglasses. We're making over 7,000 plus eyeglasses every single day in our labs. And so, and so just to step back too, we have shop floor, it's an optical lab is what we kind of, you know, call it there. And so we have two labs, one in Louisville, Kentucky, and then one in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So we've got 680 people working for us. We've got people making the eyeglasses. And then we also have opticians that are, I like to call them our boots on the ground. They're the ones that are talking to the veterans each and every day in the local VA hospitals. As I mentioned, we're in 40 different states. And so they're in the cities there where veterans come in, thanking them for their service. Like our employees are great. Like they are, you know, a lot of them are, you know, family members were veterans. And so they really are, you know, serving those that are very close to them there too. So, you know, we're trying to always remind our folks of like what the mission is and, you know, taking care of our veterans each and every day when we're either making the glasses or serving the veterans coming into the eyeglass locations there all throughout the country.
So you actually have the opticians in the actual VA facilities around the country. Is that, that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yep.
So it's not like a VA employee who's working directly with the veteran, or is that, How does that work?
Good question. So it's kind of, so for the most part, we have the opticians that work for us. Some locations, actually, you know, the VA that I go to here locally is, it's a VA optician that works for us. So it's,
okay.
You know, the one thing is like, you know, each VA is kind of different in how they operate. There is potential some changes that are coming out about, you know, uniformity and all that, but some locations are VA employees, and so some are our opticians working there. We have about 300 opticians working for us currently.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And so I want to talk about the process that a veteran goes through to go from walking into the VA, you know, maybe they're already seeing a provider there for, you know, their primary care, and you know, maybe they have other health related issues or mental health or things like that. So they're already set up in the VA system, not to necessarily go into how to get set up in the VA system. That's a whole nother conversation probably, but you know, someone who goes in and wants to get started with getting their eye care through the VA, what does that process look like? And what's kind of the first steps that they need to go through?
Great question. So you kind of teased that earlier with your question there too, of like the misperception really of like, hey, like, I can get free eyeglasses, like, you know, and so like the big thing is like, as long as a veteran has some type of service connection disability, which unfortunately a lot, you know, I know a lot of my veterans that I'm friends with have that because of just, you know, various, you know, war or whatever, like things that we've been exposed to, you know, even the PACT Act there too, like with the burn pit exposures there, like that opens up. I recently wrote an article for Stars and Stripes about how the PACT Act, I think, opened up about a million more veterans receiving some type of service connection disability. And then, so, you know, taking it further about this is like based on like the Vision Council, about 60% of the population wears eyeglasses, some type of eyeglasses. So, you know, you would think about another 600,000 veterans would be eligible for free eye care through the VA. So the first trigger is if you have some type of service connection disability, you can go into the VA. Hopefully you're receiving care through the VA, you know, whether it's for your primary or other benefits. And then you go in to the you know, schedule an appointment. You'll go down and meet with an optometrist, and those are the ones that examine your eyes, and then they'll, you know, give you the prescription. They'll push you down to the eye shop there where our opticians are, and they'll help you fit you with some glasses that are good for you based on your shape of your face and all those types of things there too. So again, it's something that like a lot of veterans don't know that they qualify for this benefit, and it's an earned benefit based on the sacrifices our veterans have made for our country there too.
So is it pretty much like any service connection whatsoever? Is there a certain percentage level that you're talking about?
From what I understand, it's like any percentage qualifies for, So if you have any type of service connection disability, again, which unfortunately, like a lot of our veterans do, like, you know, that's not a great thing, but it's just the reality of the things that we've faced, been exposed to, et cetera, over our, you know, time in service there too. So,
It's so interesting because there's a lot of benefits that you get at certain levels of disability where, you know, after 30%, you get something else. And after, you know, different percentages, you get other types of things. It's kind of like like leveling up in a, you know, video game almost. It's like, right, you get something else after you get to a certain percentage. I'm making light of it, but it's, you know, not that it's not a serious situation for a lot of us, you know, dealing with whatever disabilities that you're having, but that's just one of those things that was never even mentioned to me, or if it was, I totally missed it. And so I can't imagine that I'm the only one who missed it. So that was why, like I said at the beginning, why I wanted to have you on, because this is such a huge benefit. I know for myself, just going to, you know, the local place to get my eyes, not just the appointment to get my eyes checked, but then the glasses itself and the prescription and all that stuff, it's super expensive. And that's a benefit that's available to us. And, you know, if you can get that at a much more affordable rate or even potentially free, that could be a huge impact on a lot of folks who might even be in a financial position where they just forego getting glasses because they can't afford it, because it's just that expensive. And, you know, that obviously you don't want people you know, injuring their vision or anything like that, because they're straining their eyes, or right. now they're getting headaches and they're having all sorts of other conditions because they're yeah. not getting the care that they need, but this is available to them. And like you said, an extra 600,000 some odd veterans probably are eligible just from the PACT Act alone. Yeah. And there's, I mean, out of the, whatever it is, 19 million veterans that are out there, like,
yeah,
it's not an insignificant number of people who are eligible for, you know, glasses. So
absolutely. Yeah. I remember like stepping into this role, like, and I'm like, you know, I don't think a lot of like, again, like my friends that are veterans, they didn't know about this. So like, it's, you know, it's about right. education and awareness there too. So like, again, it's an earned benefit. Like Scott, you've earned that like through your, you know, sacrifices and things you've done for our country. And so I encourage you, unfortunately, we don't have Arizona. That's not our contract there, but
okay.
you can go in there. They'll take care of you there too. So, yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, if you think about just the numbers that you said, I think you said like 7,000 glasses a day that you guys yeah. make. Is that
plus, correct? Sometimes 8,000 plus, you know, it all depends on the sure. volume of like veterans coming in all throughout the country there too. So, yeah.
Right. So that's probably just quick math. That's probably like 2.5 million glasses that you're making a year.
Not that much. No, it's like 1.7 or so, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably going off a full year.
You did. Yeah. Just, usually 250 yeah. days is like the working day calendar. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah, sure. So that, yeah. So maybe I overestimated a little bit there, but still
someday,
that's,
maybe. Yeah.
that's millions. That's
yeah.
over a million glasses a year that you guys are, you know, creating out there. And I got to imagine there's even more people who just don't even know that this is a thing. And the demand is there, I'm sure. It's just not right. being utilized because people just aren't aware of it. And that's yeah. honestly part of the reason why I started this podcast, you know, for two main reasons. One is to share stories of other mm-hmm. veterans who maybe have kind of been through hell and got through and could serve as a source yeah. of inspiration or hope for somebody, but also to let people know about the resources that are available to yeah. to veterans, whether it's, you know, nonprofits or other organizations or things like this, like through the VA, you know, getting prescription eyewear. That is a huge benefit that a lot of people just don't know about. And
yeah.
and it's crazy to me that it just doesn't get advertised. Not, I don't want to say advertised like they need television commercials or anything like that, but yeah. you know, you would think that, you know, as a veteran with a service connection and you go into your primary care provider at the VA and you go in, you're wearing glasses.
Right.
It would be a thing that they should probably just mention. Hey, did you know that you can get your glasses through the VA? You know,
that's a great point. Yeah. Like, so hopefully like your audience here, like if anything, like we're saying here, like, you know, this is a conversation between two infantry guys here. So,
right.
But like, if they take that away, like that's a success, right?
I mean,
yeah.
Two infantry guys. I mean, we're not going to come up with, you know, the most elegant solution to a problem, but we can figure something out. Right. And we'll get the ball rolling at least. No. So
use your voice and your platform here to like help fellow veterans here. So thank you for bringing that
exactly.
up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the VA, you know, they talk about how the eyeglass prescriptions generally need to come from the VA care, VA authorized community care, because they have that option too. Are there any mistakes that you see veterans making when they try to go get the glasses and what they should do to ask the VA to get the help or avoid delays anyways in the whole process? Are there any things that people are doing other than just not going to the VA at all and going someplace else like I've been doing?
That's it. No, I think, you know, from my perspective as the CEO of PDS, and we're making a lot of prescription, and just stepping back too, like, you know, everybody's vision is unique to themselves. So like, you know, we're making it's not like a widget we're making either too. So like, yeah. you know, those are unique. Some people have different left eye, right eye vision, all sorts of different. So, you know, in terms of mistakes, I don't think so. Like, I think once you're in there, you're meeting with the optometrist, you're meeting with the optician. It's a pretty smooth process. Like, we're getting those eyeglasses out to veterans within a week or so, like, you know, or sometimes less usually. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'll go to my local VA and get the eyeglasses, and it's sort of like the undercover boss, you know, like I'm like the going in, and our Florida lab will make my eyeglasses. And last year I went on Monday, and I think I got my glasses within like by the following Monday there too. So like, you know,
okay,
five business days that is right there. Really not if you count, you know, like, I don't know when I went in on Monday. So it's a pretty smooth dialed in process there. And you mentioned community care, just to like, so we're separate. We do some eyeglasses for community care, but that's sort of different. It's sort of like a private, and community care is a great service there too, because, you know, that's more for veterans that are not local to a VA. Like if you got to travel a long way to go, like in some rural places, like a Montana or somewhere where there's not a lot of VA locations, like it's a great spot to go and get, you know, your eye care done at a local community care approved place there too. So it's a little bit separate from us, but we do some community care prescription eyeglasses in some different areas there too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a great option, like you said, for folks who are in those remote areas and there's just not a VA facility that they don't have to drive for hours to get to. And, you know, or even if just, you know, the wait time at a VA is just,
it could be like that. Yeah. Like for me, like I'm working on a dental implant here. And so I luckily qualify for dental coverage through the VA. And that, you know, that goes to your tiers of like, you know, whatever, you got to have a certain level of disability for dental coverage. Yep. And I was working through the VA and I missed an appointment just because of a work conflict. And then it just kind of got pushed out several months just because of wait times. And I was like, hey, this is, you know, kind of inconvenient. Can I try to get in sooner, maybe through community care and approved? And then I'm kind of still on the process there. I don't know if you've had a dental implant before. It takes a long time, but.
No, I haven't had that, but I've dealt with the community care, the whole system. And it's great because there were some things that it was like through the VA, they were like, oh yeah, we have an appointment for you. And it was, you know, we're talking to them in January, but they're like, yeah, the appointment won't be until June or something. And it's like, well, that's ridiculous. So then they get you in to somebody else and it's within, you know, a week or two or something like that. And so it's pretty quick. So, you know, and not every single situation is going to be, you know, exactly like that. That was just my experience. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the community care network because of, you know, a lot of the wait times that you might end up having sometimes at VAs or just the long distances that some folks need to go. So that's why I like to kind of bring that up too, because again, some people aren't even aware that community care is a thing. Even it's kind of a newer thing. It's not something that's been around for that long, you know, or it may have been, it's just wasn't as popular back then, but you know, it's a thing that's being more pushed in use now. And it's being pushed to really make sure that everyone's getting the care that they need and not just sweeping things under the rug. So it's great, you know, and I know, so PDS is also done some other stuff to kind of promote veterans and kind of help veterans out, you know, partnering with the Honor Flight Network too, right? Is that something that you guys have done? So it's more than just glasses. It's more than just, you know, taking care of the eye care. It's really looking after veterans, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we were like, you know, we're proud of what we do. Our team, our people are proud of what we do for veterans. And so we're like trying to think about like ways we can kind of give back. And so we looked at some other veteran organizations out there, and Honor Flight was one that came like resoundingly at the top there from our employees. We actually polled our employees and surveyed them and said, hey, what are some organizations we'd like to link up? We should look into linking up with. And we looked into it further, and we did something called a Lone Eagle Honor Flight sponsorship. And so what we did was we sponsored about 50 veterans from all across the country, like Hawaii and, you know, Washington and all over, and had them fly into Washington, D.C. last year. And I'm stealing this from the CEO of Honor Flight. You know, it's the Honor Flight allergies, like that they call it there. So like when you're there, it's very emotional. Just seeing, you know, the veterans from, you know, we had two veterans from World War II there, actually, that actually grew up a couple blocks from each other in Brooklyn, New York. Didn't know each other, but they were couple blocks from each other there. And we had Korean War veterans, Vietnam War veterans. So just seeing how these veterans are treated and with interacting with each other, it's a very powerful, very emotional experience there too. And we were very proud and honored and just happy with you know, sponsoring that there too. And we're going to continue to do that going forward as an organization. and always looking for ways to give back too, of how we can support other veteran organizations out there too. So that's something that we're, you know, happy to do.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring that up too, because it's not just a glasses company or, you know, optical or, and it's not just that. You guys are more than that because of what those kind of extra things that you guys do. You actually are out there supporting veterans and doing it in a way that's not, you know, financially motivated or anything. It's like, truly, you want to give back. You want to help these folks. You want to show your appreciation and support and all that kind of stuff. And so I wanted to highlight that, because for the listeners, you know, hearing about a company, a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, well, they're just, you know, they're in it for, you know, themselves and all that kind of stuff. But that's not this company. This is,
no, it was a cool like experience for me too. Like I got up and said some words to everybody. We had like a dinner before, the night before, and you're just hanging out, like talking to these veterans. And it was great. Like I'm talking to a Korean War veteran from Minnesota, and I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. Like that's a whole nother story. Tortured, but like, you know, we're talking about that, and he's telling me about his fishing stories, and he's wearing eyeglasses, and I'm like, we made those eyeglasses for him too.
Oh, great.
So it was just, yes, like you said, it's more than just, you know, trying to make a profit and whatever. And again, like as a veteran myself, we're proud of our company. We're proud of our mission. And, you know, when you can see the things we're doing for our veterans out there, it just makes it even more impactful. And we had a lot of our employees actually participate too as sponsors and guests there for veterans that didn't have veterans that were there. And so it was just a great event. And as I mentioned, we're going to continue to do that and then look for other ways too, like that we can kind of give back. We do things locally too, like, you know, ruck events and running events and stuff like that in the Louisville area or the Fort Lauderdale area. And so it's, yeah, again, if we're always open to ideas on how we can support other veteran initiatives out there.
That's excellent. Yeah. And like I said, it's more than just an eyewear company. It's a company that's really truly focused and dedicated to helping and supporting veterans.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, in addition to raising awareness for the fact that you can get glasses through the VA. That's why I wanted to have you guys on, you know, to really talk about the company and kind of, you know, kind of boost you guys up a little bit, because I really do appreciate the mission that you guys have. You know, you guys really do live the values from the name of your company. You know, that those things are not just a slogan, you know, pride, dignity, and service. So those things are really a part of who you guys are. So I wanted to highlight that and support that as much as I can. So before we wrap up, I want to just go back to kind of a transition kind of question here for you. For folks who are transitioning out of the service and they want that sense of purpose, obviously a paycheck is important, but they also want, you know, a team that they can trust. Obviously, you just got done talking about your team and, you know, how much support they give to veterans and things like that. If someone's looking to, you know, get into some sort of manufacturing or, you know, those types of, you know, operations, what roles at a place like PDS are a good like entry point for some veterans who might be transitioning out, and how can they kind of translate that military experience into the hiring managers will be able to recognize and respect on that end?
Excellent question. Yeah. We're always looking to hire veterans just because, you know, that's part of our company culture. That's our customer there. And then just me as a veteran, I just know the things that veterans have seen and done, you know, and just the, you know, hard work, motivation that veterans bring to the table. So I'm looking like we've got our current maintenance manager in our Kentucky lab is a former Army guy too. And so like, you know, he started in the lab there and worked his way up into a maintenance management position there too. Our current director of accounting started in like data entry and then, you know, worked her way all through the different positions within the lab. So there's definitely, you know, there's not a really like direct path to where you're going to go. I think you could step into our company, learn a little bit about each area. And then, you know, there's a lot of ways for you to move around and help with our mission of providing high quality, affordable eyewear for our nation's veterans. So
yeah,
again, I always looking to hire veterans. So if there are veterans in, you know, the Louisville, Kentucky area or Fort Lauderdale area that are listening to this, please reach out to myself. I'm on LinkedIn. I think, Scott, you're going to share some of my contact info too. And
so
we can get you connected in, and love to even just have a conversation with a veteran, just, you know, transitioning too, like, and, you know, how I can help you too. Like, you heard my story. I was started off in insurance, and now I'm here in, you know, optical manufacturing here too. So,
yeah. And even yourself, you said you started off in this company as kind of a consultant too. So it wasn't like you just stepped into the CEO role and just started day one, you know, hitting the ground running. It was, you kind of worked up to kind of learn the business and all that kind of stuff too. So, you know, I think from, you know, a realistic perspective for anyone who's transitioning out, whether it's working in a company like PDS or, you know, any other company, you know, just understanding that, you know, there might be a little bit of a learning curve that you're going to need to kind of learn a little bit about the business, a little bit about the job and all that kind of stuff before you can really kind of move up in advance. But knowing that you can, you know, go into it with a little humility and not expect that you're going to be the top dog at the very get-go, you know, that's okay. And it's kind of expected. So, you know, that's great advice. And, you know, hopefully a lot of folks, especially, you know, in the Kentucky and Florida areas, if they're looking for that type of job, they can reach out and you know, see if there's any positions open for you guys. But, you know, it's good, just general advice as well. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I will have links. I'll have a link to your website, you know, the PDS Optical website, as well as your link on LinkedIn. And I'll try to grab a link for the VA, you know, the optical program through the VA. If they have that information online, I'll have to dig that up and I'll try to throw that in there too for the listeners. So they don't have to go struggle trying to figure that out, but it's definitely a great program, great opportunity for a lot of veterans who are in need of eyewear and just don't know where to turn. You know, if they're financially maybe a little bit struggling, this is just one of those, like you said, an earned benefit. You're not taking it away from somebody else just because you're going and getting it. So you earned it, you deserve it. So, you know, go out there and get it. So, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story, sharing, you know, PDS and all the things that you guys are doing. It's a great organization and a great opportunity for a lot of veterans. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Scott. This was fun. It was a great conversation here, just amongst two Army infantry guys here. So this was fun.
Absolutely. It's always fun to have another grunt on the show. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.